Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Wait a minute, I gotta get my place here. Psalm 119, read verses 113 through 117. If you'll do that for me. You want to read out of mine?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy words, that I may live. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Keep going?
No, that's it. Thank you very much. What's your name?
Stone.
Stone?
Yeah.
Okay. That's better than rock, I guess. But it's so good to have you. Now, I can't see everybody with my eyesight as dim as it is, but I can see some of you. And I thank you for coming and being in this session. And I hope I'll be a blessing to you. In this passage of scripture, there's three things that can defeat you. And you've got to be careful of these three things. You know, at our youth camp, what we have is we have breakfast. And then after breakfast, there are 15 minutes we call God and I time. And we have everybody either reading their scripture or studying their scripture memory verses. And no sports during that time. We just ask them 15 minutes, spend that time with God in God's word. So, one day, when I could see decent, a friend of mine and I were walking on the road, and there was a couple boys down there playing basketball on our open air court. And I hollered down there and I said, "No boys, no sports now. This is God and I time." And they said something back, but I didn't hear it. And I said, "What'd they say?" He said, "They're dissing you, man." I said, "Dissing me? What's that mean? Putting you down?" "Hey, boys," I said, "quit dissing me. I don't want to be dissed no more." I remember they laughed at me like I'm a weirdo. But I seem that way to some. But there's three things that will defeat you. One is wrong thoughts. Wrong thoughts. I think there in the first verse that he read, he said these words, "I hate vain thoughts. Thy law do I love." Now, young men, please remember this. Your thought life is very important to God. You need to control your thought life. Don't let the world control it. Don't let the flesh control it. And don't let the devil control it. And if you will be careful about that, God will bless you. He really will. And I want you to know, you can have a clean mind, but you're going to have to watch clean TV if you have one at all. You're going to have to listen to clean music. See, one of the worst things about worldly music are the wrong thoughts they produce in the listener. And I don't know what kind of music you're listening to, but get you some good, godly music for your life. If you'll go to your youth pastor or pastor and tell him you're quitting worldly music and you need help getting some good music, I believe they'll help you do that. And That's so important for you to do. That tells whether you're going to have victory or defeat in your Christian life. And then I want you to know the second thing that he says will defeat you is wrong friends. When he says, depart from me, ye evildoers. Now, he wanted to obey the word of God, but he knew if there were evildoers in his life, it would defeat him. Wrong friends will defeat you, young men. Don't let it happen. Don't hang around that bunch that cuts down pastor or youth pastor. Just don't hang around them. Don't hang around that group that tells smutty jokes. Don't hang around them. Stay away from them. And God will bless you for doing it. You know, is there any of you going to Bible college this fall? Raise your hand if you're going to Bible college this fall. I don't see any hands, so you may just have to say I am. Okay. Whenever you do go to college, make sure you pick out a godly college. And God will bless you for doing it. He really will. I was saved at the age of 15. Now, I don't remember getting saved because I lost all my long-term memory when I came down with meningitis. When I woke up, I didn't know my name, my wife's name, my children's name. I had to relearn everything all over again. And God has helped me a lot. I have problems with short-term memory, too. For instance, I cannot remember the alphabet. I've studied and tried, but I can't get it to stick up there. So I did this. I memorized these three parts of the alphabet. A, B, C, L, M, N, O, P, X, Y, Z. And now, all I have to do is figure out where to put the other ones. And it works out pretty good for me most of the time. But I have a lot of learning. Every one of you young men are smarter than I am. But I have good friends in my life. I really do. Pastor Rogers, Brother Schmidt, Dennis Blankenship, just among multitudes of friends that I have. And they help me, and I appreciate it so much. The kind of friend you want is the kind that would tell you no if you started using dirty language. The kind of friend you want is a friend that would say to you, I don't want to hear it if you started saying some things you shouldn't say. That's the kind of friend you want in your life. I remember I had to relearn how to coach after my illness. Before my illness, they told me I was our basketball coach. We only had a small school, 17 in it. That's all we had. And that was kindergarten through high school. And so we couldn't afford to hire a coach. So I got some DVDs. Well, actually weren't called DVDs then. I forget what they were called, but I got that. And what were those called before DVDs? Yes. And I would watch those of famous basketball coaches in college. And I began learning the fundamentals. That's all I could do, is get down the fundamentals. So the day came, I was coaching again our high school boys and our peewee boys. One of the basketball coaches that we beat, he said to me, "John, you're a better coach now than you used to be because you focus on the fundamentals. And young men, you've got to focus on the fundamentals in the Christian life. You've got to focus on reading God's Word. Don't let a day go by you don't read it. And then you've got to focus on prayer. Oh, how important it is to pray. Don't let anything keep you from praying. Set your goal. Pray 10, 15 minutes a day. My goal for me is an hour a day. I didn't quite get that in this morning, but I got a lot of it in. And boy, I tell you, when you spend time with God in prayer, it really helps your Christian life, increases your joy. Well, going back to coaching, I coached and I had a real good crop of boys. We only had 5 in our high school, but thank God 4 of them were boys. And I reached down to the junior high level and I got me some junior high boys that were pretty good. And we put together a team. We were 2nd in our state in the Christian School Association. And we were playing for 1st place or championship in Little Rock, Arkansas, the biggest school in our state. Was playing the smallest school for 1st place. Now, if you get 1st place in our state at that time, they would pay your way to go to Kansas City to play in the Nationals. Nationwide, they had the best schools from the nation. And they would pay for that trip if you were 1st in our state. In the last 10 seconds of that ball game, we were beat. And I was so disappointed. I felt sorry for my boys and felt like it was my fault not being a better coach. So, about 2 weeks after this happened, and about 2 weeks before Kansas City game, I got a call. The team that beat us had an ineligible player playing. So we were 1st after all. They said, "Can you go to the Nationals?" And I said, "Boy, howdy, can we?" And I called my families and told them at school next day, "If you want to go Kansas City, let me know." Well, boy, they got excited. So we went to Kansas City. Now, I don't know if any of you have seen this movie called The Hoosiers. And it's about a small public school going to the state of Indiana, and they were playing in the finals for the state championship. One of the things the coach did on the small team, when he got them inside that big gym, bigger than anything they'd ever been in, he took his tape measure and he put it on the lip of that goal, and he set it down to the floor and he said, "Guys, it's the same distance it was in our gym. Don't let this big building frighten you." Well, we showed up and word got around. The smallest school that had ever played in these nationals was us, a school of 17. So, I'm walking out there with my boys, and the referee came up to me, and he said, "Did you bring your tape measure, coach?" I said, "No, I think they know how tall it is now." And I felt good. I felt like coach, referee even for us. So we got into the first game and we won it. We got into the second game and we won it. And by this time I knew there were two brackets. And by this time I knew that there was going to be a team we would have to beat in order to be champions. It was this team that had one of the best players I'd ever seen in high school. He was good. He could hit 3 points. He could dunk the ball forward or backward. And if you put him on the foul line, he hit 75% of his shots from the foul line. The guy was awesome. So, I began to watch them play the other schools. And I sat right behind their bench. And I watched them. Now, this player had two bad habits. One is pride. He not only was good, he thought he was good. Now, young men, if you're ever good, you ought to be the last one to know it. Don't ever get that way. Don't ever get prideful and cocky. And then he had another bad habit. And that was, he wanted the ball every time it came down the court. Well, the other teams that I'd watched play them, it was amazing. All of them double-teamed that boy. One school even tried triple-teaming him, and they still got beat. I knew if we got into the game with them, we'd have our hands full, but I had a secret weapon. I had a boy that knew how to play defense like you never seen. He was awesome. Now, offensively, he wasn't very good. If he were going up for a layup, it's a 50-50 chance he's going to miss it. But he was a hustler. So, I told him the night of the big game, I said to him, "Evan, You hold this player to 17 points and we'll beat them. And Edmund said, Coach, I'll do my best. And I said, I know you will. And I said, they've got a center taller than any of our men. They're going to get the tip off. I said, I want you to be over there and block out that man because they're going to tip it to him. And I said, I don't care who in this gym gets that ball. Don't you let that man have it. Yes, sir, coach. Sure enough, they got the tip off. And sure enough, they tipped it to that man. But Evan had him blocked out so well that he fell down trying to get to the ball and got up mad. And boy, did he have a temper. I thought, it's working. Things are happening. So, I told Evan to play him deny ball right from the very start. So, even when they would take the ball out, Evan was so good and had this guy smothered so much, a lot of times he didn't get the ball when they threw it in. And he was getting madder by the minute. And that's what I wanted. So, we were playing good, hard, clean ball, but it was just denied ball. And so, he had scored about 7 points in the going into the second quarter. But Evan was playing him good. He had to work for everything he got. And so, there was a loose ball. And that loose ball headed out of bounds. That boy wanted that ball, and so did my man, Evan. Evan was the kind of player that would jump through a wall to get a loose ball. He was awesome. So they both went for that ball. And they were both elbowing each other and went out of bounds. Neither one got the ball. Well, the referee saw them elbowing each other. So rather than call a foul on one of them, he just said no call. No call. Well, that made that boy mad. He got up and walked over to that ref, and he said, you better get that whistle in your mouth, bud. Bad move. He's out of the game. The rest of the team didn't know how to play without him. He was the one guy that carried the team. And we beat him by 30 points. And I was being nice. I put in my worst player, Charlie. Now, Charlie was terrible, but if you wanted to cause mayhem, put him in the game. And he's going to cause mayhem. I guarantee you. And we won the national championship for the small school there in Kansas City. Now, I remember this. There's two things that will defeat any young man. Pride and a temper. Young men, be careful with your pride and be careful with your temper. Don't get mad at mom and dad and talk back to them. My mom lived after my illness, and since my wife and I, she said we met in Bible college, She didn't know me growing up in the high school years. But I'm just from a divorced home. And my mom said I used to get mad when she would get after me. And I'd walk into my bedroom and slam the door. Well, after I got saved, I did that one time. And God convicted me after about 5 minutes. And I came back out of the bedroom, came up to my mother and said, "Mom, I'm sorry. A Christian shouldn't do that. Forgive me." She said, "John, that's when I really knew you were saved. Getting saved out of a drunkard's home at the age of 15. I've been saved now for 50 years. I'm 65. And so, Mom knew that something had really happened in my life. Young people, make sure your parents know your salvation is real. But wrong thoughts, wrong friends, and wrong attitude. When he says there, "Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually." Notice the word respect there. Wrong attitude will defeat you. You've got to learn to respect. First of all, respect God. That important. Boys, if you don't learn to respect God, you'll be defeated all through life. All through life, you really will. And this is so important to learn. And then respect your elders. Have respect for them. Don't make jokes of them. Don't cut them down behind back. Be careful about boys. Respect. Respect parents. They may not be perfect parents, and there are no perfect parents. But respect them. Respect your pastor. Youth pastor. Men and women of God, have respect unto them. Wrong attitude can defeat you in Christian life. I'm going to tell you one thing and then I'll close. Thank you for listening so well. I appreciate it so much. And I remember one time I was in Florida. Back when I could see, I would walk laps around the motel to stay in shape. And it was hot and sweaty down there. And I would sweat through my clothes and come back, put them in the plastic part of my suitcase, so I wouldn't get other clothes wet. But the final day came, and I didn't have a shirt to wear. So I decided to go to the store next to the motel, and I bought a cheap red shirt. Emphasis on the word cheap. And I noticed on one floor, that day, they had a washer and dryer you could put money in and wash your clothes. So I thought I'm going to take my walk. And then I'm going to wash all my sweaty clothes. So I put that cheap red shirt in there with the rest of my clothes, my white ones, and my underwear turned the prettiest pink you ever seen. The only problem is I'm not in the pink underwear. If you are, you got more problems than you thought. And so, all I had to wear home was pink underwear. My greatest prayer was, please God, let me get home in these pink underwear. All I could fear was the plane go down and I not burn up. And I'm dead and they're changing my clothes and they see those pink underwear. What in the world are they going to think? I prayed harder to get home in those pink underwear than I did missionaries in Africa that day. But I made it. And my prayer was, please, God, don't let me die in these pink underwear. Now, young men, you're going to face difficulties. And you're going to face trials. But be careful. Wrong thoughts, wrong friends, and wrong attitude can rob you of the blessing God has for you. Stay close to God, and He'll bless you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for these young people. I pray that they'd be careful with their temper. Please, Lord, don't let their temper defeat them. Lord, I pray you would help them in their lives to keep a right respect towards you and their parents and those who are above them. Lord, please. And Lord, please, I thank you for helping me get home that day. That was such a blessing of you to do that. Now, Lord, I ask of you to just be with these young people and bless them real good. In Jesus' name, amen.